Today is April 15, 1973. The time is 2 p.m. I will be interviewing Mrs. Adam Benassa of Saginaw, Michigan. She will discuss her experiences living in Saginaw.
My parents and a brother and sister, and settled in Saginaw, East Side, where my father's sister lived. The East and South Saginaw, also Buena Vista, at that time were large Polish settlements, the people pouring in, believing the United States to be a land where streets were paved with gold. They soon learned it was not so, but the poverty they knew in the old country. Also the rumbling of the World War between several of the European countries at that time made them very happy to stay here. In fact, when we were coming across, the trip, I think, took nearly 2 weeks across the ocean. We were attacked at sea by another vessel. And of course, at three, you don't remember very much of that. People were terribly frightened. So my parents lived among other Polish people, and although we were poor, everyone was poor. They all had many children, and we never felt deprived. We had good times just playing, and I often wonder what we played with, since I don't remember any particular toys we had. Just were busy doing something, playing. The families knew each other, and since we were poor, no one had money or frills. My father worked as a boxcar repairman for the Pure Market Railroad, now the CNO. And we shared a home with another family. That is, they had one bedroom, kitchen, and a sort of a living room, plus one large closet. The other family had the same, though quite separate. And we lived that way for several years. No plumbing. We had a cistern for water for all the bathing and laundry purposes. And when there wasn't much rainfall in the summer, the water supply would run short, and we would save water by several members of one family bathing in the same laundry tub behind the kitchen and wood soft coal stove. The neighborhood was dotted with outhouses, which the boys would topple over on Halloween. Most streets were only dirt roads, and where there were sidewalks, they were made of wooden planks. In fact, I don't remember a cement sidewalk. Between sidewalk and road, there were shallow ditches. I was enrolled in a parochial elementary school when I was 7. That was about the starting age for the first grade. We were taught English as well as Polish grammar, to read and write it. With very few toys or sources of amusement, we studied hard, and in not too long a time chattered in English, though with a strong accent. This leads me to believe that the languages should be taught in the first grade, because little children learn so quickly. At about 10 years of age, I did a lot of babysitting in the neighborhood, my only pay being a sweater or a cap knitted for me at Christmas time from yarn my mother bought. Transportation consisted of streetcars running on main streets like Genesee, Michigan, and so forth, and what were called jitney buses operated privately. The bus fare was a nickel, and most of us walked wherever we had to. We went shopping to the East Side Business District along Genesee Avenue about 2 times a year. Coats and shoes and yard goods were bought then, and neighborhood grocery stores supplied necessary items. We all had gardens, chickens, ducks, and geese. In the fall, my father bought a couple small pigs, and by Christmas, they were butchered. We had bacon, ham, and casings were washed again and again, and all kinds of sausage was made. So we had meat, vegetables, and in lesser supply, fruit, which always seemed too expensive to buy. I remember getting an orange when I had a severe case of measles, and thinking how I had always wanted one and now was too sick to eat it. At 13, I was out of the eighth grade, tall and husky. I worked as a dishwasher during school vacation at the Amazon's, one of the better ice cream and grill businesses. The hours were 11 in the morning till 11:30 at night, with an hour and a half break. The pay was $8 a week, actually. That $8 paid for our family's week's grocery bill. I became a dropout in the 10th grade. At that time, about 1926, there were very few who went to high school, and even fewer who graduated. You were required to attend continuation school one day a week until you were 17. If you looked strong, few places of work bothered about birth records. So at 15, I worked at Fame Laundry, taking one day off a week to attend continuation school, which was only a review of subjects from the eighth grade level. Later, still not having to prove my age, I was hired by Lufkenroo, where I worked for 32 cents an hour. After 11 years, when I married, I quit Lufken, a forelady, at the top wages of 48 cents an hour. The depression took over the country during those years. People were out of work. Some families where no member could find work were told to sell their home, as we were, and try to wait the depression out by living on the money from the sale of the home. Labor unions began to organize, and the Pier Marquette Railroad was one of many places to go out on strike because the management refused to permit the union in. After a settlement, the union did not win. All men over 45 years of age were told they were no longer needed, and my father was over 45. So because of lack of skills and little knowledge of English, he was out of work for 11 years, with only an occasional job digging trenches for a plumber. He could find no work. He haunted the Salvation Army and Red Cross officers, where he was given an occasional bag of flour, beans or rice. Banks closed about this time, and what meager savings some folks had were frozen. You couldn't draw your money until something like 5 years later, when it was paid out in installments, but people got it all back. When I recall this bleak period, I wonder how I and other youngsters grew up. There was nothing to do, nowhere to go for entertainment. A lack of decent clothing further prevented dating or going to a dance. Very few owned a car. Couples who dated walked to an occasional neighborhood movie when they could spare 15 cents admission. Saginaw Auditorium was the place to dance. Sometimes several girls and I would walk there about 2 miles from where I lived and dance to Morris Rushlow's orchestra. Then at midnight, walk all the way back home. Later, when the Volstead Act was repealed, making liquor legal, beer gardens or taverns mushroomed. The Green Mill on Lapeer Street, the Moonlight Gardens in Carlton were most popular. Dance bands like Art Noe's and Don Pablo's. Marathon dancing became the craze of these times. One could go into a place holding a marathon at any hour of the day or night, stay as long as one liked while watching the exhausted contestants holding each other up. I believe this was outlawed later. As work prospects improved, Victrolas and radios became household entertainment.
Okay. Very interesting. Thank you.